Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Planetary Night, and it is the 10th day of the White Wizard Wave Spell. And it is the 10th day of the Magnetic Moon, because we started this year, the 13 moon year, on July 26th, and that was coincidentally also the beginning of the wave spell. So for this one moment, everything is super synchronized. And let me remind you that the natural time year, the Mayan year, begins on July 26th, so that's why we're only 10 days into a whole new beginning phase here. And it is comprised, the year, of 13 28-day months, and they are named things like magnetic, lunar, electric, self-existing, overtone, rhythmic, resonant, galactic, solar, planetary, spectral, crystal, and cosmic. Those are the 13 moons of the year, the 13 28-day months, and simultaneously those 13 tones, those words I just said, comprise a 13-day wave spell, which is a cycle of time of different lengths. It could be 13 days or 13 moons or 13 years, but it's always shaped in a wave form, builds to a peak, and then the wave breaks, crashes on itself, and recollects and stills, sort of like the surface of the ocean when it's suddenly glassy and smooth, when there was just a lot of white water. And I'm mentioning this at the outset because we are in a planetary day, which is the peak of a wave. The 10th day of a 13-day wave spell is always as high as we can go in our ascent. And tomorrow, the wave is going to bust open on itself, shift completely back to free fall to Earth, which can feel really liberating, like being in flight. And it can be a little terrifying because we've lost all our, altitude very quickly. But today, we have this peak experience, this crest, this highest exposure to the heavens. We have been riding a wave and overcoming obstacles, getting higher and higher because of that combination of being lifted by a force taking us heavenward, as well as, in our own human, earthly way, navigating things that have been hard for us that we might have felt were blockages, obstructions. We've found a way up and over them, and that's part of how we grow in these wave spell cycles profoundly if we pay attention. It's this beautiful cooperation of divine will, which wants us to be raising our attention and our sights toward the heavens or the God force, the world of the gods. You can describe your God in any way you want, but I'm going to portray that it's like beyond Earth, so that makes it feel like it's upward. We're working out toward the cosmos in our intent and our outreach to find the heavenly realm or a supreme being or set of deities. Again, there's so many ways to consider what is a power greater than ourselves, and I have no influence there. I just want to point out that the waves are taking us toward a heavenly spiritual body. That's like, to me, undeniable. And it's sort of mechanical because waves are moving skyward when we see them in the ocean. So my whole treatise here to use the ocean waves as a metaphor for a wave spell is because it makes kind of childlike logical sense and because it displays a growth against atmospheric pressure outward towards the cosmos. That's what we're doing when we move through wave spells. And simultaneously, way back to what I said earlier, we, on a very humanistic level, have things that feel like they keep us in check, that we can't do it because we're burdened, or we, you know, can't find our way around walls, we can't find doors. And all this idea then of being obstructed in our path and in some way defeated even as we aspire for more, but we can't find a way to do it. A wave spell is instructional. It's dedicated toward ascent. And we are shown ways when we kind of fixate on growing towards God. We're shown the ways over our obstacles, and they are part of what lift us up. And I say it that way because I believe when you get to the peak of the wave, such as today, you recognize, like, yeah, things that were bothering me at the beginning of the wave spell really aren't now. In fact, I've overcome enough that they feel behind me, beneath me. And something moves from having been obstructional to being foundational. It makes us bigger. So there's a million ways that, well, maybe 100 metaphors about what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and, you know, you just outgrow your problems, you get bigger than that, and all that is happening now in the wave spell. And then what's fun about that, the planetary day, is the announcement that we've overcome an obstacle. We feel it, we recognize it. But we're not going to just keep going, you know, into the egoic idea that now I'm one of the gods because I made it so far past my problems and hardships and things that kept me down, and I'm sort of invincible, you know, because I think that's almost inevitable when we are victorious for too long, when we have success for a long stretch. It seems to me that the human dilemma is turning that into a static confidence, like, now it's always going to be this way. I am great. And so what's beautiful about the wave spell is it has built into itself an undoing of all the ascension and the accomplishment of a 10-day rise or a 10-moon rise, a 10-year rise. It comes undone in the spectral tone, the 11th tone, and that will be tomorrow. That's Monday. And it'll be yellow spectral seed, but just any spectral moment is, in one day, the undoing of 10 days of growth, of 10 days of evolution, of 10 days of lifting ourselves toward the heavens and being empowered by the heavens to journey that way, in that direction. So, I don't know, that's the wave spell. That's the way to spell in a nutshell, though it took a long time to talk about it. I think a lot in my reverie, which is I'm painting the interior of my home. So I spent a lot of time probably intoxicated by paint fumes, but also just doing the same mechanical gestures over and over. And it's been days. It's been more than weeks, a few weeks. And it's all very beautiful, and it's all very meditative in some way. But in that time span, I've become so aware in this new year and this new Zolkin cycle that I can talk so casually, even flippantly, about the wave spell as I just, you know, once again gave the speech, got up on my soapbox about how we're going to ascend, we're going to overcome obstacles, but then we're going to be brought back to Earth and have to start over. That is, to me, the mechanics of natural time, and that if we organize our lives that way, we are driven out of egotism and greed and other really base human attitudes that aren't sociopathic even. They're just sort of survivalistic and they get out of hand. But if we travel in these cycles consciously, then we undermine some of our egotism. We really recognize that spectral days can feel really free and liberating, but also undoing. You know, they create little losses. That planetary days can feel successful in a certain way, in a planetary experience, but they're also, you know, they have a way of showing us like you're stuck here on the planet. And for someone like me, that's not ideal. So, and I've said that many times before, but what I wanted to kind of point out circularly here, remember, I'm identifying that I may be like slightly damaged for now by home painting projects. What I've noticed is that it's really a lot to ask people to follow a spiritual ordering of life. We could call it a path. Natural time is what I'm talking about. It's not very appealing to say, oh, here is a structure where you never really get to ascend for real until you die. You get to ascend to a certain point, and then you have to come back to earth and face what's here. I'm not trying to sound pious, because I have so many problems even within this paradigm where I resist what's here on earth, or I resist ascension. I'm not always in tune with these wave shapes, but since I study them and talk about them, I find them foundational to my values. My values tell me we shall try to ascend, but accept that this is always a rolling back to earth in an incarnation. Like, we're not able to have pure enlightenment because we live in the land of shadows. If we were in pure enlightenment, we'd be on fire, which doesn't work in human form. And so that's why I am encouraging people to listen to the podcast so that you can follow natural time all by yourself. But I've just been kind of accepting that it is, what do they say? A big ask. That's a big ask to get people all excited about a really dedicated every day, all days of the year, all years of your life, spiritual orientation that challenges the ego dramatically. Now I'm done. I'm done with that little reverie. I should get into astrology. That's why we have the podcast. It's the White Wizard Wave Spell. I'm not pretending to be prophetic, but perhaps I had to say all that because it is the White Wizard Wave Spell within a White Wizard year, within a 13-year White Wizard Wave Spell, which you all know because I can't stop thinking about it or talking about it. But what I feel about these 13 days is we're getting microcosmic download for a much bigger bigger picture experience, and that would be this year, July 26, 2019 till July 24th, 2020, and then also these 13 years that started July 26, 2019, and I guess the math is it would go to 2032. And in that time, I think global warming will be really impossible to ignore. It'll be an earth trauma that human society can't overlook. And I find that actually kind of compelling, because it means we're going to have more and more evidence in a very quick, rapid fashion. And then the constituencies will be paying responsive attention. We're not going to be able to get away with 13 years of being like, well, I mean, it might be real. It's going to feel really real. And I'm only saying that because I think that's what's being reported, that we have like 12 years of what we're going through now before the tipping point. So since 13 years ago from the last wave spell was pre-internet, pre-Facebook, 13 years before now, I think 13 years from now, it makes perfect sense that we would be dealing with trying to heal ourselves as we've practically eradicated our own species here on planet Earth. So that seems to have something to do with this White Wizard Wave Spell of 13 days, that we can take this little moment, this microcosmic image of a vaster macrocosmic playing out of fate and destiny, and get a feel for things. So this is a planetary day. That's what I feel I've learned in the last 10 days of the microcosm of White Wizard. It's only my version. You'll have your own. You could point to mass shootings. You could point to something personal in your own life that might evolve over 13 years. But you would hopefully get a flavor of whatever is happening now, being that little pebble that you drop in the pond, and then the ripple effect that you're experiencing something smaller now that has really big outlying intention and will go quite a distance in this next year or 13 years. And then more specifically, when Yellow Spectral Seed happens on Monday, it is sort of officially the end of White Wizard's ascendancy. When the wave breaks, White Wizard gives its power surge over to its antipode. Antipode is an opposite but balancing tribe in the array of 20 tribes. They're counted on our fingers and toes, and our antipode means opposite finger or toe. So Yellow Seed will be the opposite of White Wizard, because White Wizard is our left pinky finger and Yellow Seed is our right pinky finger. And White Wizard is sort of clearly the shaman, creating healing. And I would say that Yellow Seed, opposite and balancing, is much more about plant life. And the shaman works with plants to heal people. And at the same time, you know, plant life and then the mystic healer are sort of, one is very base, innate, that would be the plant, and one is very like evolved and in the minutiae of a healing cure, you know, using brain energy, using trial and error to understand what will help someone who's ailing. So it's a complicated experience. It's like a tribal surgeon. And then Yellow Seed is like the medicine, but it's not all the activity of invention and oversight. So they work beautifully together, but they are opposite. We'll be moving out of White Wizard's domain really quickly here, and in some way anticipating the wave spell to come, which is Blue Hand. But let's just play this out. So Monday is Yellow Spectral Seed. The wave breaks, and we're reintroduced to the simplicity of plant life in ourselves, and sexuality is how we are like plants. I don't think that Yellow Seed days are particularly like alluring, you know, lusty, but I think sexuality can be a really important part. I mean, procreative sexuality doesn't mean you have to create a baby, but a sexuality that really sustains you would naturally unfold on a Yellow Seed day. Now, Red Serpent, which is the next day, Red Crystal Serpent, that'll be Tuesday, that's the hunger for food, for, you know, that's where lust comes in to me. It's very obviously phallic to have a day of Red Serpent. And so it shifts from the plant instinct to procreate to the first animal instinct, where there's kind of like a revved up charge, like a hunger. And we can be hungry for food. We can be desperate for sleep on a Red Serpent day. We can want to be sexual because it's our base instinctual drives. And we have the drive to feed ourselves, to be rested, and to further our DNA species, our ancestral line. So we learn what those appetites feel like in our body on a Red Serpent day. Tuesday is a crystal day, which is the day we gather together. And I think you find on a crystal day that whether you've organized a gathering to talk about the 12 prior days of the wave spell or not, that you will innately, naturally, accidentally congregate with one other person, a series of people over a series of encounters, or make your way to a group setting, a gathering of some kind, because a crystal day is about sharing our story of what has happened for us in the wave spell that has just elapsed. And then on Wednesday, we will be at White Cosmic World Bridger, and that's the 13th day. It's the end of the White Wizard wave spell. It is a sort of bridge to the next wave spell, and so it's nice that we're having a bridge on a World Bridger day. And White World Bridger is the nice, soft, gentle consideration of death, and that's to remind us that when things end, they actually just bridge us to another experience. It's that sort of one door closes and another opens idea. But on White World Bridger Day, we will have an experience of something ending, not necessarily something dying, and we will have the opportunity to observe or find an entry for where that death portal takes us. It's a continuation of some kind, but maybe we, you know, we're changing realities, or you know, the stage is set here and then the curtains close and we move to another scene. I don't know why I have to be so illustrative with these pictures that I create in my mind, but that's what comes to mind. Just like, oh, well, this scene is over here, this little diorama where I've been living my experience, but the light goes on over here and I just switch gears and enter this setting. I'm going to give you an example. And remember, I'm talking about a future Wednesday to come. It's like a breakup, a relationship ends. On White World Bridger Day, that would be a good day for a relationship to determine that it's over. But it would feel like a liberation, because you're being, you know, let out of a karma that in some way has been in decline. It's been in a death spiral, and you're going to be able to seize on new life, or a larger life, you know, the eternal life. In a World Bridger moment, you get to grasp the other side of the World Bridge, which is the eternal experience of the afterlife. None of us need to die and go there in actuality in order to have a feeling of what death is. It's the letting go of something that has served its purpose, but you know, has evolved to be over, so that we can experience for a moment the unleashing, untethering, and travel into a more expansive place, a heavenly moment. And then, because we're going to be reborn, death is going to just lead to another iteration, another experience. We're not actually going to leave our bodies. Then we will feel, with all this room and refreshment, that we can start something else. And so it's the bridge between what is over and what is just being initiated. That's Wednesday. And then we can anticipate in the next few days that Blue Hand is coming. I'm mentioning it maybe in deference to this horrible karma of our presidency in the United States, because Donald Trump is a blue electric hand. I think that anticipating the Blue Hand wave spell a little bit with it right there on the horizon line usually would be like, oh, okay, I'm going to know something really clearly in the Blue Hand time. I'm not going to be in denial. It's going to be presented to me very, almost like I could touch it. That's what Blue Hand is to me. Like, I see it and I can confirm by reaching out and touching it that it's real in some way, because it is. It is the way our brain interacts with our sense of touch, our outreach, that we can confirm things with our hands. We can make things that our brain invents with our hands. So it's not just the hand. It's the hand connected to the mind. And that is an origin the antler of a deer. So a deer doesn't make things with its antlers, but they're so sensorily receptive, antennae of a kind, and our hands and our humanity are that for us. But, you know, what the hell is going to happen in a 13-day cycle that is seated in the essence of Donald Trump, the terrible? So that's coming up. I don't think you have to get ready in any way, like fortified. I would just get observant, because I think some of us struggle more finitely, or let's say I struggle in great depth and detail with the understanding of why this karma has presented itself to our country, and then it leaches out to the whole globe. But I'm like, what is it? You know, what is he healing? What is he here to know clearly, to show us so that we know, Blue Hand? How's he being of service again? He's electric. He's like God-infused overcoming of what challenges us. So I'm going to want to know. I'm going to want to see some directions. I'm not trying to look for ways to think more favorably of the situation. I just enjoy understanding the mechanics of metaphysical, the playing out of metaphysical lessons. Okay, and then if you want to think about the magnetic moon, just here in our grand finale moment, I would remind you, since we're only in the second week of magnetic moon, we'll be finishing it up in these same next few days, that, you know, the second week of any moon is a time of purification. It happens in the north, in the white north. It's the white week in the north, place of purification. We kind of initiate things in the first week in the east, and then we in a way are restful, like, oh, there was a flurry of activity for the first 7 days of the moon. The second 7 days of the moon, I think, are more spacious, like everything's really busy, and then wait, don't stay really busy, because that's not what natural time is. Natural time is balance. So we get really busy with new initiation, and then we pause and we get spacious and porous, and we let divinity feed its way in. So we're not just, you know, hamsters in the habit trail. We're like whole, balanced humans. And that week in the north opens us up to spirit. Clarity comes. And then we have a pretty busy week in the west, which will start on Friday. And we'll talk about it when we get there. But, you know, that's the whole other thing. It's just like we're going to have a blue hand wave spell and the blue third week of our magnetic moon. And it should be really revealing. I'm a little over saying it's going to be really hard, because I think life is hard almost all the time. If you read headlines, if you feel your feelings, if you have your antenna up to a lot of the, you know, intense upset that has penetrated society. But that we, so we don't have to talk about like, oh, it's going to be hard. We can just be curious, like, well, what is the revelation that's going to be within that particular flavor of challenge? Third week of the magnetic moon, blue hand wave spell. But magnetic, carrying us forward these next few days, you just keep attracting your purpose and paying attention to it. It's so powerful right now, because all you have to do is see what you're attracting, what's coming towards you, what you are stuck to. It's like you're a magnet, and it's, you know, oh, it's, I have this now. Now this is a part of me. I just attracted it. And there will be a lot to talk about in the lunar moon of 28 days of getting clarity. Like, that was my purpose, but this is my challenge. Some of it falls away for a while. I'll teach you how. But right now, it's pretty real. If it's in your mind, if it's around your body, if it's consuming your thoughts, it's your purpose. So I don't know what else to say about it. I find that really exciting. I find that to be really reassuring. I love the magnetic tone for that one demonstration of powerlessness that begins our wave cycle. Like, you don't say, it's my new year, this is what I'm going to do this year. Oh, I'm so mean. I sound like such a snob against Gregorian time. That's my new year's intention. Now you just, it's a new year, you got to get ready, like a catcher in baseball. Just get ready to field what's being lobbed at you as your fate and destiny and unfolding. It's not usually just out of nowhere. I'm not suggesting that the past has been wiped away and it's all brand new. It's just, we're looking at information for how this next year might be entertained in your life. What will consume your interest? What will you cultivate? And then it's only more exciting than ever because we're in a magnetic year of a 13-year cycle. I keep talking about it. I keep thinking about it. And thanks for your patience. I'm a little reckless in my communication now that we're not totally retrograde. But again, I cite the paint fumes if it's been a little helter-skelter. Stay tuned. Come back. Look at Resonant Truth for birthdays. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, In La Keshe.